Good morning. You can remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletin. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. We want to especially welcome all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are indeed welcome, and we want you to feel welcome. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we would like for you to consider Main Street. And as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you would give us your address and phone number so that we can have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. And now, if you would please pass those attendance pads down the pew, and visitors and the members alike, please register your attendance. Our Wednesday night gathering series continue this Wednesday night. Program, or the meal begins at 5:15, and the program begins at 6:15. Again, this Wednesday night, you've got two choices of the program. Reverend Dennis will continue his Bible study on the book of Esther, and we will be continuing the DVD series, Making Love Last a Lifetime, led by Jim and Kathy Kelly. You can make reservations for Wednesday night using the yellow cards in your pew racks there, and we do need reservations. The meal this Wednesday night will be catered by Sweet Peas, will be fried chicken, your choice of butter peas or turnip greens, whipped potatoes, chocolate pudding cake, rolls, and tea. And again, since this is a catered meal, we do need an accurate count, so we do need you to make reservations. If you have standing reservations and for some reason will not be able to attend, please contact the church office and let them know that. We will be continuing our pickup basketball tonight and every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. That's open to males and females alike, 6th grade and older. So if basketball is your thing, join us at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight in the Asbury Gym. Also, we are in need of volunteers as nursery workers. There are several weeks in which slots are open for workers in the infant, one-year-old, and two-year-old nursery. So if you would be interested in serving 1, 2, or 3 weeks in that capacity, please contact Kathy Kelly and let her know that. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Will you please stand for the call to worship? The Lord sees the end from the beginning. Wisdom begins with reverence for the Lord. The Lord judges the immediate by the ultimate. Wisdom begins with reverence for the Lord. The Lord weighs the deed by the motive. Wisdom begins with reverence for the Lord. As we worship in your temple, we pray, O God, that you will bless us with a wisdom that the world can neither give nor take away. You may be seated.
So mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.
If you would, please join me in praying the invocation as printed in your bulletin. O God, you inspired Jesus to forsake the wisdom of the world for the folly of the cross. Prepare us to be disciples of such a Lord. Let us behold with him a world in which your will shall be done on earth as is in heaven. A world in which we shall not only avoid but destroy temptation. A world in which we shall not only plead for but practice forgiveness. Anoint us as you anointed him to become the glad tidings we bear. Amen.
As we come to our prayer time together, I have several announcements to make and some concerns and some thanksgivings as well. We do have some birth announcements. Michael and Lena Meredith have a new baby, William Tucker Meredith, born September 21st. And also, Jamie Lyles is now a grandmother. She has a granddaughter. There was one more birth announcement I have forgotten, but anyway, we do have quite a few births in this time of year. As a concern, John Redfern's stepfather passed away on the 21st, and we are in prayer for their loss. And Joanne Johnson, Mike Johnson's mother, had surgery and is recovering. And also Mary Birchmore had surgery this past week and is home recovering. I have one announcement concerning prayer. We're going to try to keep up with ongoing prayer requests, such as people off at college or ongoing disease processes or folks in the military or what have you. Just ongoing long-term prayers, not just the short-term for week or by day concerns. And you see this insert in your bulletin. Well, we want you to write those concerns on this piece of paper, fold them up, and put them in this prayer box. You'll notice it has a little bitty padlock on it. And we're going to put it right outside this door on the table to the right where the upper rooms are. And we'll be printing a prayer list of concerns and thanksgivings and requests. And we will have that printed up after we collect so many. We'll print that up and have them available in the chapel, so that anytime you come to church just a little bit early, or between Sunday school and church, or between the 8:28 service and Sunday school, you can feel free to go into the chapel and use that chapel as a place of prayer. Have a list of the ongoing concerns of our greater Main Street congregation, and be aware not only of your own prayer concerns, but of those ongoing concerns of your brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's the way we'll be using that in the days to come. And this box will be right out there after the service. Let us go now together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come before you hoping against hope that somehow today you will touch us, comfort us, heal us, and inspire us. Lord, you cannot be contained, and we should be in awe at your power and presence. How is it that we are often bored in the presence of the living God? We pray to you for our world, for the friends and the former friends we have, for our family ever-changing and sometimes those strained relationships. We pray to you for our greater world, where ancient hatreds and daily violence make the news and pierce our dreams of peace, the peace that we know in our hearts ought to be. Lord, make us instruments of your peace with our children, with our spouses, with our friends, and with your help, even instruments of your peace with our enemies. We love you, Lord. Help us love each other. We accept your forgiveness. Help us to forgive one another. We feel your care for such a one who is weak. Help us not despise the weakness that we see in others, but see opportunities to help, to offer hope, and to protect. Lord, hear our prayers as we lift them up in silence in our hearts. Yes, Lord, we know that you do hear our prayers, for we pray in your Son, Jesus' name. As he taught us, let us now pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now I'll ask our program director, Kathy Kelly, to come forward now to recognize our crucifers and our acolytes who help us so much in our worship service.
Good morning. Today we recognize a very large group of children and youth who are willing to serve in the next coming year, the next 12 months, as acolytes and crucifers. They do it. I thought about the scripture that was read at the 828 service this morning and how Jim talked about how we should come to Christ with the excitement of a child and serve him with that excitement of a child. And we did have excited children last week during the acolyte training. But the children who will continue to serve as acolytes are, and I asked them to come up as I call their name, Abby Dent, Jackson Nichols, Townsend Air Jones, Carly Rogers, and Jacob Stockman, and Heron Warner. And while they're coming up, we have four adults who are our acolyte moms who once, when they're on the schedule, they come and they meet the children in the acolyte and crucifer closet and make sure that they have their crosses and that they're robed properly. And they are Joe Patterson, Karen Dent, Debbie Tharp, and Patty Nichols. And I would like for them to just come up and stand here on the floor. They didn't know I was going to do this, so they're a little reluctant to come up here. I won't make them talk. So, the children who will continue to serve as crucifers are Sarah Adams. I didn't have these broken down like this in the bulletin, so I'm having to use my cheat sheet. Amelia and Miranda Stockman. The children who will be serving as new acolytes are, let's see, new acolytes are Charlie Dent, Jay Logan, Skylar McGinnis, Jones Pendergrass, Sheely Dominic. Did I leave anybody? Oh, and Kennedy Britt. And our new youth that are going to be serving as crucifers are Josie Adams, Brady Britt. Oh, and Megan Castro is a new acolyte also. Megan, I'm sorry. Right here. Okay, the new crucifers are Josie Adams, Brady Britt, Scurry Charles, Rakeem Childs, let's see, Nick Nichols, and Haley Rogers. If you will come. Amelia, come down here. When they serve, Rakeem, come down here. And Brady, come down. now. They're somewhat in alphabetical order. Rakeem is right here, and Brady, you're down there at the beginning. When they serve, we ask them to wear a cross, and the congregation of this church is very blessed in that they are able to give them a cross. The acolytes wear a wooden cross like this. And the crucifers, if somebody has a crucifer cross, wears a gold and silver cross with their robes. So I ask all those that are returning to place those around the new crucifers and acolytes' necks, if you all will do that. There you go. Can you get it? There you go. And congratulations. As you see, we have a very large group of very willing children and excited children and youth, and we appreciate your service to your church.
Now I'd like to invite the children down front for the children's time with Alice Ballantyne.
Wonderful. We're having to make room for all the children this morning. Good morning to everyone. All right. This morning we're going to talk about a story in the book of Mark. And what I have in my hand is what? Two quarters. Now, 50 cents. Each quarter is worth what? 25 cents. That will buy a good bit of candy in some small stores, right? It can be a good offering for church. One of my quarters has a picture of a man with two trees. Another one has a picture, it looks like, of canoes and Indians or something like that. But are they still worth 25 cents apiece? You mean I can't buy any more with the man in the trees than the men in the canoes? Are you sure? These are worth the same? You're right. They're worth the same. And in the book of Mark, the disciples were standing around and they were like, I'm better than you. Jesus loves me more. Well, does Jesus really love one person more than the other? Well, like Skylar's got blonde hair and Jay's got brown hair. Is one more special than the other? Or where we live or how big or small our house is? None of that matters, does it? Jesus loves us all the same, and we need to come to him. Even the big people need to go to Jesus and know that he loves us all the same, even no matter what we do, right? We've got a loving God, and he loves us each for our own special gifts, and he loves us the same. Can we say a prayer this morning? Dear God, thank you for loving us. No matter what we look like, no matter where we live, no matter what we do, thank you for all you do for us, and especially for loving us. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pass the peace.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable. And her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading this morning is from James chapter 3, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse 3, and verses 7 through 8. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
Oh,
now God's word from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 30. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he would not have anyone know it. For he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way they had discussed with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is given to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the remission of saints, the resurrection of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Before my sermon, I just want to make one announcement and a clarification. We had expected the new sound system to be put in by now. There have been a couple of delays. The new sound system is on its way. And I want to thank those anonymous donors who made that possible and thank the trustees for negotiating a very good deal for a very good system. And I am absolutely looking forward to putting the quietus on those who think I can't sing, because I know that when we get a high quality microphone up here, it will reveal to you the quality of my voice. It's the microphone. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I like the story that Zig Ziglar tells of a woman who went to her pastor for some marriage counseling, and the pastor did what pastors always do. He wanted to ask a few questions to find out what the problem was and zero in. So he asked first, "Do you have any grounds?" To which the lady responded, "Why, yes, we do. We have about 10 acres north of town." And he said, "No, ma'am, no, ma'am, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, well, do you have a grudge?" She said, "Oh no, but we do have a nice little carport." He said, "No, that's not it. That's not what I meant. One more question. Does your husband beat you up?" And he said, "Oh no. She said, "Oh no, he does not beat me up. I get up before him almost every morning." In complete exasperation, the pastor said, "Just tell me, why are you having trouble with your husband?" And she said, "Well, he just cannot communicate." Now, if you reread and listen in your mind's eye the passage from the gospel that we just heard, Jesus was having a lot of trouble communicating. And please don't make the disciples stained glass saints. They were missing it horribly. Jesus said plainly that the cross was coming. He went off by himself with his disciples to teach them. He said the cross was coming, and they did not understand, and they were afraid. They were not afraid that he would die. They were afraid to look stupid because they did not understand, so they did not ask him what he meant. That's what it says. Imagine, Jesus explained to them that he had to do this thing, this going to the cross to offer salvation and to offer forgiveness to the whole world, but they were so locked up on their own plans and their vision of how the world is and their vision of how things work that they blew off completely what Jesus said, ignored completely what Jesus said, and they were not even curious enough to overcome the fear of looking stupid, the fear of new information. They were more interested in continuing the same old argument, namely, which one of them was first in power, first in prestige and authority. How often this came up among the disciples of old and the disciples of today. Most every conflict in every church and in every family and in every business, etc., wherever humans work together and make decisions together, the conflict stems from putting your ego, your ideas, your power, your authority up against someone else's. Here's Jesus laying out the very costly plan of salvation, speaking of the cross, and they don't get it. And they don't care enough to get it. And they go back to, of all things, arguing about who is the greatest, the best, the top dog. And they were at least ashamed of what they were arguing about. And that kind of reminds me of a sad but funny tale. This actually happened in my first church. A member once walked out after a sermon and said to me, "Preacher, I knew it was wrong when I did it. But I did feel guilty later." God save us. May God save us from a faith that merely makes us feel guilty but doesn't have us pray for the power to change. Who is best? Of course, no disciple is any better than any other. We are sinners all in dire need of a Savior all. The Savior who Jesus was and was trying to tell them about. Ironic, isn't it? Picture this. Picture it. Jesus was teaching them, saying, quote, "The Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." And they stare at him in silence for a moment, lose interest apparently, and then say, "Now where were we? Oh yes, I'm the greatest." "No, you're not. I am." Picture that. Jesus needed to change their minds, to make them look at things differently, so Jesus did what Jesus does so well. He said something that seemed so upside down and backwards that they would have to take notice. Something so odd that they would have to engage their brains and think about it. It still sounds backwards. "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." The disciples, I am certain, got that deer in the headlights look again. And maybe they cut their eyes a little bit to the left and the right at each other, but none said a word. They were still afraid to look stupid, but I'm afraid they were. They ran it through their minds. "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." It didn't compute. No, they wanted to have servants. They wanted to have servants. They didn't want to be servants. They wanted power. They were jockeying for position and authority. They were not listening to Jesus at all. He said that he was going to die, and they didn't even say, "Oh, I'm sorry." They were so focused on themselves that even Jesus' death didn't mean anything to them. I hope that it means something to us. Anyway, they were most certainly not arguing about who gets to serve.
Serving was not on theirs or anyone here's menu of worldly greatness. Being a servant just doesn't make the top 10 list of attributes of greatness except for Jesus, who they and we often ignore. So Jesus, to make his point clearer than words, performed the very first children's sermon in a way. He grabbed an actual child and he preached a sermon with this child as an example. He took the child in his arms and he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but him who sent me." Jesus wanted to shake the delusions of grandeur out of their eyes and show them that God is great because of God's willingness to descend to us out of love and to serve us. God's willingness to reach into the ditches and into the alleys and into the sterile, cold mansions full of tears and lift up the helpless, the hopeless, like you and like me. To offer help and hope to selfish sinners all. And if you think you are not spiritually helpless alone, then you are stuck somewhere back with the disciples still arguing for your own greatness apart from Jesus' cross. They were wrong, and if we think that way, we are wrong. To be great is not to be grand and powerful. To be great is to be like God in the way that Jesus was like God. And God chooses to descend into this dusty, violent earth in Jesus Christ to offer us help and hope, love and forgiveness. That is what Jesus said when he spoke of the cross, but they did not hear him. And that is what Jesus was saying when he picked up the unimportant child. Did they hear it? Do you hear it? Somehow, welcoming and helping and holding that one needy, socially unimportant child was somehow echoing God's act for us in Jesus Christ. At the same time, welcoming and helping and holding that one needy, unimportant child was doing what God wants us to do for each other. I said this morning, and I'll say again, sometimes I wish that I could be a Christian without dealing with other people. Oscar Wilde said, "Hell is other people." John Wesley said that Christianity is a social religion and you cannot practice it alone. But there are times when I wish I could just attain that cultural dream that is so anti-Jesus of a mansion on a hill with a gate and just mail my sermons in. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Some of you know what I'm talking about. But I am pretty sure that is exactly what, when they were arguing about power and might, those original disciples were envisioning. They wanted to be in place, in power, up on a hill. But Jesus made this faith of ours something a little more like this. Caring instead, down in the dirt, for something or someone tiny and fragile and precious, helping the helpless, like that little child he grabbed to make the point. Helping the helpless, which when you think of it, is what God did for you and me in Jesus Christ. I want to tell a story. My father was an emergency medicine doctor for many years in Spartanburg and then in Myrtle Beach, and he never, ever cries. In fact, those of us in the family have never seen him cry. We think that he may have been born without tear ducts. But he worked for years in emergency medicine, as I said, and once a nurse who had worked with him told me the only time she ever saw him emotional was when a young, helpless child came in cardiac arrest, and she told me that my father tried and tried way past any medical hope to revive this child. The nurse told me that the staff had to more or less grab him and tell him to stop. And when they did, he did what I've never seen him do. they said he cried. Serving the helpless and the hopeless as God served us. We, who were made helpless and hopeless by the sin and by the selfishness that is in all of our hearts, that is what Jesus did and taught us to do if we are bold enough to follow the one who was nailed to a cross. Yes, Jesus picks up this helpless, negligible child to show in parallel what God has done for us and we should do if we are to follow Him. In closing, in my imagination, now this is not Scripture, it is my imagination, but it's pretty close to Scripture. I can picture a scene like this. God is looking out over humanity with a tearful eye, with humanity destroying itself, beloved all by Him, but destroying itself and each other. And God says to the angels around Him, "I'm going in." And the angels say, "Well, it's about time. You finally go into the earth with wrath and judgment to destroy that sinful world, right?" And God says, "No, no. I'm going in as a helpless child. And I will grow and face temptations as they do. Face the fear of death as they do. Face the corrupt powers of church and state as they do." And the angel said, "No, they will kill you. They will despise you for your holiness. Your holiness cannot be hidden. And your light will reveal to them just how much darkness they dwell in. They will kill you." And Jesus said, "I will love them." The angels warned, "They will kill you." And Jesus said, "I will love them nonetheless." Now this does not make sense. But then love does not make sense, and it isn't supposed to. If it did, it would not be love. Love cost too much to enter into. Love takes time you will never get back. It takes effort you may never get in return. It takes forgiveness over and over and over again when it might be more profitable to just give up. God's love does not make sense at all. And yet, here it is in Christ on the cross. Held out for you and for me and for sinners and the stupid and the lazy and the wasteful and the dishonest and the unfaithful and the prideful and so on. For whomsoever will come. In Jesus, God comes risking it all on love, though it cost Him the cross. The disciples arguing about who is best, who is first, almost missed that message. In fact, they did miss it until the very end. Don't miss it. God was in Christ making peace by the blood of His cross. You and I need the peace that He made. Amen. Please stand. just in time before the benediction, we remembered the other baby I was to announce and celebrate. Matthew and Betty Pinckney had a baby boy Friday the 22nd. Grandparents Richard and Susan, and great-grandparents Shorty and Sarah Callison. Yes. Receive this blessing. Be blessed in the full knowledge of the great love of God our Father, the forgiveness and the saving grace we have through Jesus Christ the Son, and even in this moment, the power and the guidance and the comfort of God the Holy Spirit. May you grow from faith to deeper faith, from this life unto eternal life, through God's grace, through God's gift, through Christ's cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.